Everywhere Jesus goes, many people expect him to set them free from oppression. Everywhere he goes, he heals people and sets them free. Disease, devils, and death are running for their lives. The forces that diminish human life are rendered powerless by Jesus. The Holy Gospel, according to Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 29.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for it is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of our Lord. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So Kevin Hines was someone who had a pretty normal childhood growing up in San Francisco. That was until he turned about 17, and then he started having some pretty severe mental health issues. He was diagnosed with bipolar disease, and things started drastically changing for him. And by age 19, he was starting to hear voices in his head, voices that told him he wasn't good enough, that no one cared, and that he should just end it. And so one day he gave in to those voices and he hopped on a bus and headed for the Golden Gate Bridge. On the bus, he was sobbing and he was telling the voices in his head to be quiet. And the bus was packed and no one on the bus said anything to him or even noticed him, which further confirmed to him that he didn't matter and that he should just end it. So he got to the Golden Gate Bridge and he paced on the bridge for about 40 minutes. And a woman came up and asked him to take her photo. He took the photo and she walked off. Again, further confirming to him that he didn't matter and he should just listen to the voices in his head. So that's what he did. And he jumped. 220 feet, 75 stories, 4 seconds. As he jumped, he prayed, "Dear God, save me. I don't want to die. I made a mistake." He hit the water and plunged 70 feet underwater. And he kept praying, "Dear God, save me. I made a mistake. Please save me. I don't want to die." So he swam to the surface with the use of only his arms. And he kept praying that prayer, "Dear God, please save me. I don't want to die. I made a mistake." He was having trouble staying above water. And a creature came and swam underneath him and started propping him up. It was a sea lion. A sea lion came and propped him up and kept him above water. And he kept praying, "Dear God, save me. I don't want to die. I made a mistake." The Coast Guard came and pulled him out. Kevin Hines was given a second chance that day. Out of the 2,000 people that have attempted what he did since the bridge was built, only 36 people have lived through that and only 5 can walk. Kevin lived and after many months of therapy was able to walk. He was given a second chance and he didn't take that lightly. He's used that to serve others. He shared his story online and across all over the country and the world. I was told this week that he had come at some point to the Williston schools and spoke to them. You see, he got it. He got that he had been set free. He had been saved for a second chance to serve other people. Letting people know that there are options, that they didn't have to do what he did. I tell you this story because in our gospel reading from Mark, we meet someone else who was given a second chance. Let's think about that story just for a moment again. Jesus and his disciples had left the synagogue and where Jesus had healed a man who was demon-possessed. And they literally just walk across the street to Simon and Andrew's house, and he finds out that Simon's mother-in-law has a fever. Now let's remember that we're in Bible times, and that could be pretty deadly, right? There's not a CVS on the corner where they could go and get her some Tylenol or some other medication. But Jesus goes to her, grabs her hand, and raises her up, and heals her. And what does she do next? She serves them. Now, I have to admit that every time I read this story, that makes me uncomfortable. Makes me uncomfortable because I always jump to, was she really healed just so that she could make them supper? I don't really think that's the case or what's going on here, because Simon's mother-in-law gets it. You see, she has been given a second chance. She was restored to health, and she responds by serving, even serving on the Sabbath. It was still the Sabbath day. She responds to what she was given with true and sincere service. You see, Jesus' word and touch has the power to bring wholeness and healing, but it also has the power to free us to serve others. Simon's mother-in-law understands that something profound has happened to her, so she serves. We see that time and time again, how Jesus' word and touch can restore wholeness, right? We see it in Scripture. We can see it in our lives as well. As the story goes on, we are told that after sunset, which would make it after the Sabbath, the whole town hears what happens and gathers around the house. They're hoping for healing. They're hoping for something more from Jesus. And that's what he does. He heals many, but we don't hear that anyone gets it the way that Simon's mother-in-law did. We know that the disciples don't get it. You see, through Jesus, we are free to be who we are created to be. Beloved children of God who are made whole through the love and mercy of Jesus. This happened to Simon's mother-in-law, not so that she could make them supper, but we and her were set free from whatever binds us, so that we can serve and share the love of Jesus with others. But sometimes we're like the disciples, right? We don't get it. We miss the point. We're told in the story that Jesus goes out early the next morning to a deserted place to pray. The disciples can't find him. They're kind of frantic because they just started following this guy and all of a sudden he's gone. So they hunt him down, and Simon tells them that everyone is searching for him. He wants Jesus to go back and finish what he had done in Capernaum, to finish what he had done in his hometown. But you see, Jesus' mission is much bigger than just that one town. So he says to his disciples, let's go on to the neighboring towns so I can proclaim the message there. You see, there would always be people that need to hear the message. There will always be people that need to be healed. The disciples didn't get it, and probably don't get it until after the resurrection, or maybe even later. So again, yes, we see time and time again how Jesus' word and touch can restore wholeness. We see it in Scripture, like we saw it this week, but we can see it in our lives if we pay attention. Times when we've been given a second chance. Times when we've seen people restored or healed, or even renewed. Times when we recall that gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation that frees us and makes us one with Christ. We can share with others how Jesus has worked in our lives, how we've been given that second chance, maybe even that third and fourth and fifth chance, how we have a new day every day to serve Jesus. It's easy, right? It's easy just to notice this stuff. Well, not really. But what holds us back from truly embracing who we've been created to be? And what holds us back from seeing what Jesus is doing in our lives? Well, sometimes our understanding is limited, right? We're kind of like the disciples, and we just don't understand what's going on. Then there's other times when we just think we know, and we have ideas of what we should be doing, instead of taking time to seek out what God is calling us to do in our lives. You see, Simon knew what Jesus wanted, thought he knew what Jesus should do, right? He should go back to Capernaum and keep healing. But Jesus went and spent time alone in prayer to rest, yes, but I imagine also to refocus and realign himself with the mission that God had given him. We can spend time in prayer. Yes, with our prayer lists and praying for people, but it's more than that. There's another side of the coin when it comes to prayer. There's that part where we listen, and we listen for God's calling in our life. But even when we hear God's calling, there's times when we second guess it, right? We doubt, we ignore, we maybe think that, wonder if we're even good enough. And I get that. I've done that myself. And there's also times when we hear that calling and we don't want to serve that way. We don't want to step outside of our comfort zone. And there are times when we just make excuses. But the good news is this: Jesus doesn't give up on us. Jesus never stops working in our lives. Jesus daily renews us, bringing us grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. Those things that make us whole and restore us over and over and over again, so that we are empowered to participate in Jesus' ministry here and now. You see, Jesus' ministry was a ministry of preaching and healing, and that's our ministry today as well. We will soon down the road hear Mark 10, where Jesus boldly proclaims that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And that is our example. You see, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to live among us, minister among us, died and rose again, and because of that, we've been set free. We've been set free from the power of sin and death and everything else that holds us back, but set free for a reason and a purpose, to simply love and serve one another in any way that we can. We have been given a second chance, a chance to live as we've been created to be. But this service, this strength to serve, the will to serve, isn't always easy, but it comes to us from God. And Jesus is that living embodiment of the God who is described in our first reading from Isaiah 40, where the prophet says this: "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This call to follow and serve Jesus is not an easy one. It's not an easy one to figure out, and we are human and we mess it up time and time again. But thanks be to God that we are given a new day every day to try again. We are given the strength and the guidance through God, the one who created us, the one who saves us, and the one who sustains us. Amen.